space conditions could be regarded as a quantum mechanical descendant of the Weiss theory or Landau theory, when we write down, this is before Campiot, when we write down Lagrangian, which involves the sum over modes, whatever that means, with their mass and their dispersion and their coupling to dissipation, whatever that means. This is the basis of Hertz's discussion of quantum phase transitions.
Yes,
it's
wrong.
Sorry.
Oh, that's something you said already.
Yeah, when you generate a mass, don't you have a massive cubic term like that?
Okay. And of course, one of the key assumptions behind this was that you could integrate out the fermions and look at the collective behavior of the order parameter, and it's sort of fundamental to the description of classical criticality. This model without the damping in d dimensions is the whole basis for discussion of classical criticality, and so it's a natural question. Can one extend that to discuss quantum phase transitions in general? And that's, in some sense, the nature of can we integrate out the fermions? And I think the answer is...
I wouldn't quite actually say that.
Okay.
I would say classically, too, you should worry about all the soft modes and treat them equally. If there were other soft modes that coupled to the critical phenomenon,
right,
classically you wouldn't integrate them out either, I would say.
You should. You shouldn't, and one doesn't, but in this problem we do, for some reason.
Okay, so that's going to be part of the discussion here. I think, and of course, I think the answer could be yes and no. I mean, to some extent, the answer should be yes when it comes to things like local moments. A local moment is a degree of freedom, which is a composite degree of freedom describing some aspects of highly correlated matter, and part of the debate in this game is going to be, do we understand the interaction of such local moments with an anti-ferromagnetic environment, with a fermionic environment, which has gone critical. Alternatively, the answer is, as we've heard here, no, and because there are many different types of singularity that are associated with the interaction between the fermions and the collective modes.
No, yours has a bad Beatles tune to it.
Yes. Basically, right down the discuss action.
Yes.
So the fermions have been integrated out in tree approximation.
In a very crude way.
And there's a hidden assumption, namely that B and all higher order coefficients actually exist.
Right.
That's true if you make that approximation. But
right,
if you do better, then it's not true anymore.
Right.
Well, it's almost by definition not true.
However, it is true that this model, for example, can be used to understand critical phase conditions of the Ising model. Okay? It's a very simple and elegant model for such a thing. And so if you don't believe this is the right way to proceed in the context of quantum criticality, it raises the question, well, do you think there are simple ways of describing these quantum phase conditions that have been observed in nature? And I think there are many interesting and very simple experimental observations that raise the question, are there simple ways of understanding the quantum phase transition? I think Andy here might suggest that this would be okay for a quantum critical endpoint, perhaps. Okay, I think you might disagree on that, even for a quantum critical endpoint. I don't know.
Okay, but I guess we know the answer to this question.
Okay, so before we jump into this a little bit more, what I thought I would do is, actually it's going to be an interesting afternoon. We're going to have everyone whose name began with C, ended with C, last time I received a few comments, and there was going to be Chandler, who's unfortunately decided not to come, Paul Canfield, and Piers Coleman.
My last name begins with C.
Mine it does begin with C.
Your last name
begins Anyway, so we're not going to manage that this afternoon, but anyway, I thought I'd call on Paul anyway to give a completely different experimentalist viewpoint on this so that we can keep our feet on the ground a bit before we begin. Bill, would you like to make a comment at some point, too?
I would like to make a comment right now. I don't like the question. The question should be, what are the fermions? Everything is fermions.
Is this your question?
fermions won't perish.
So what I would suggest we do to make this a more interesting discussion is that anyone who'd like to take the floor is welcome to do so. We'll do it in a somewhat free-form way, but I think if we can take turns, anyone would like to talk about things and take the floor is more than welcome to do so. There's a marvellous blackboard here, plenty of space for discussion. So I'll start with Paul, and you're welcome to talk about this and take the floor in a moment or two. Good.
All right, well,
I think we won't go for more than 90 minutes total. I think that's...
Well, I should use less than half of that.
Okay.
You know, one of my first motion of business is to ignore that totally.
But you can write on the board. I mean,
that'd
be good.
It depends what's more interesting or useful. Mm-hmm. I was just going to try to sum up. There are two things. One, I can go into some somewhat boring specific details of a specific system. I'll do that at the end, maybe. There's a broader question for me, which is, what's interesting about the quantum critical point? And how do I, as an experimentalist, try to either get there or try to understand this in some framework? And for me, the unifying idea is preserved entropy. To a large extent, if you have systems that have to have some entropy that should be removed by third law, the lower and lower in temperature you can preserve this entropy, the more entertaining the system is going to be. It's either going to have a cataclysmic phase transition that just suddenly removes this at a lower and lower temperature, or it's going to have to dump this entropy into some other channel. So one of the questions is, can you come up with systems that actually have this preserved entropy? All right. There's one way you can do this pretty readily, which is with the 4Fs, or at least half of the 4Fs, the Cramer's ions. You're guaranteed to have at least R log 2 that you've got to ditch somehow. Now, some of the non-Cramers, you can do that also. The cerium and ytterbium systems are both Cramers, and they have a very delightful way of preserving the entropy. You can either have an anti-ferromagnetic transition. If they hybridize, you can have your Fermi liquid. Sometimes you're halfway between the two, and you can actually squirt it from anti-ferromagnetic order, and you enter into this great fluctuation region and come out Fermi liquid on the other end. So you have a competition between magnetic ordering, Fermi liquid, and the fluctuations as to what's going to remove entropy. Now, there are other examples with 4Fs. It's not limited to Kondo, and I want to bring those up also. You can have entropy in non-magnetic states. For example, the gamma 3 doublet of praseodymium is a non-magnetic doublet. You can have that as you cool down. There'll be another horse race between a cooperative ion teller, and you can also hybridize this into a Kondo system if you want. There are a few examples of that. That's also a preserved entropy. You have to remove this R log 2. If by choosing the material correctly, you can have it suppressed or tuning it correctly suppressed, you can again have this heavy state and positive quantum critical points. You don't have to have hybridization. You can have anisotropy coming in from crystal electric fields. You can have Ising ferromagnets, Ising spin glasses. It doesn't have to be Ising. It can be four-state clock in a plane. You apply a transverse field. You can suppress order. Still, you have this R log 2 or larger that has to come out. I think that makes potential quantum critical point interesting, because as it goes to zero, the fluctuations have to pick up all this entropy. So, in that sense, I think if you have systems that have this guaranteed entropy, they're the ones that promise interesting quantum critical points. What do I contrast this with? I can contrast this with, for example, standard BCS superconductivity. I can contrast it with a charge or spin density wave, not associated with local moments, but niobium triselenide or organic or something like that. These are transitions that I can bring toward a critical point also, but there's no required entropy that has to be removed. So I think these are ones that often, as we approach quantum critical point, we say are not necessarily as promising for these interesting effects where we've dumped this entropy into the fluctuation.
When you say it's a BCS transition, do you have in mind that the quantum phase transition or the classical one?
Well, type 2 superconductors you're applying field.
At zero temperature? Yes. Function of some
Yes, just field.
Field. Okay.
Right. But you could also imagine just a charge or spin density wave that you're doing with pressure and playing with an instant or something like that. Now, the question then is, if this is a question of preserved entropy, the issue I want to bring forward is, theoretically, it might be interesting to try to figure out what are different ways of removing entropy in these systems, and how do they compete against each other. The standard magnetic heavy fermion tends to be anti-ferromagnetism, or sometimes ferromagnetism, versus Fermi liquid. Sometimes you have novel superconductivity in there. For the gamma 3s, you can have cooperative Teller versus hybridization. For the anisotropic magnets, you have either order or spin glass versus, I'm not quite sure what the other end of the quantum critical point is there. That's my ignorance. If there are interesting quantum critical points in materials that don't have this preserved entropy, it would be nice to understand why they're interesting. What's dumping the entropy into the fluctuations? What's making the fluctuations
When you say non-preserved entropy, you just mean they don't have a lot of entropy at moderate temperatures and high temperatures. Is that what you mean?
Well, no, at low temperatures, actually.
No, I know.
In a charge density wave, you don't have an R log 2 that you've got to remove.
No, I know. So you don't have a lot of entropy to remove.
Right, fine. Yes. And if really the quantum critical point is interesting because of this, is there a way of reformulating this question in terms of the preserved entropy, or considering it in terms of that? Because not all quantum critical points, I think, are going to be experimentally as interesting. All right, so that was a rambling philosophical statement, but at least for me, that's one way of trying to understand what's going to be an interesting system and how to try to get there. There are a couple tangential statements. One, some of these materials do go first order and yet still experimentally look interesting. Like, it's probably because of a proximity to a second order phase transition in another dimension of phase space. We were seeing that in the MNSI work that was being presented recently. But there are some materials that, even though ultimately they go first order, it looks like you have lots of fluctuations or lots of interesting experimental effects. Now, one other statement then, and this is the boring specific one, and then I'll sit down and hopefully haven't bored you too much. And the two field-induced quantum critical systems we've looked at, or that have been discussed, the ytterbium room 2 silicon 2 as well as the ytterbium silver germanium, you have sort of a broad phase diagram, you have some sort of antiferromagnetism, you have this, which I call the Hall line, and you have some sort of Fermi liquid behavior, which is the Hall line coming in like this, and it's not clear whether it actually touches here or there's a region. There are a few questions I'd like to sort of point out and inquire. One, at least in the ytterbium silver germanium, it seems like we have a non-Fermi liquid region, even at zero temperature. One way of thinking of this is the region in HT phase space, this is temperature, this is field, where we have the best rho proportional to T, the best C over T proportional to log T, is not happening at this point where it looks like the magnetism is going to zero. It's fairly well removed from it. I find this sort of intriguing, and I'm wondering what it's telling us. Secondly, I have a question of what is exactly the nature of this line that's being indicated by the Hall measurements. And we're seeing this clearly in two different systems, the tetrahedral, the terbium, rhodium 2 silicon 2, which has its characteristic temperatures at millikelvin, and at the ytterbium silver germanium hexagonal, which has its characteristic temperatures at 1 Kelvin. So what's the nature of this line? It seems to be very tightly linked to the temperature at which the antiferromagnetic ordering goes away at zero temperature, the field at which the antiferromagnetic ordering goes away, but it goes with a very well-defined slope away from this envelope as you increase temperature. It's also the region below this is again where you end up seeing the better linear resistivity and the logarithmic specificity.
Now, that's not true in the ytterbium rhodium 2 silicon 2. I think you get a very fine linear resistance above the Hall line.
Well, okay, fine. In that case, for that one, this is unique to the ytterbium silver germanium. But this Hall line and the general topology of the phase diagram is similar between them, and there's sort of a residual question of what is that. Now, those are the specific questions. So, for what experimentally do I think makes an interesting material, one that will have interesting quantum critical point or behavior? it's this whole idea of preserved entropy. It's not unique to the heavy fermion problem. Like, you can just generalize it to any system where you can try to do this. So, voila. One experimentalist view.
Let me just perhaps augment this point of view by drawing an analogy to materials at conflict of points and soft matter. Because there's a formative argument that temperature is only the only important energy scale at conflict of point, and the same soft matter, where temperature fluctuation, or temperature is actually the only important energy scale, and many of the effects, the dynamics and kinetics one sees in soft matter is actually driven by entropy. And that's actually a very nice analogy to what you're saying. The question is, when you approach a quantum critical point, ideally at T equals zero, how fast does the entropy vanish with respect to the other energy scales when you approach that quantum critical point? In that sense, I think that's very interesting to draw these analogies.
No, I agree.
But it does seem that the quantum critical point is a zero entropy point.
Yeah.
It's not a finite entropy point.
But it's just a question of how fast that is.
And therefore you have to... Experimentally, what's interesting is all these power laws and all these other things above it or near it. I think that's associated, the amplitude of that is going to be associated with this preserved entropy, because you're having to dump it.
Yeah, as you said, it can be a competition between two different ways to dump the entropy.
Right. And in the middle, you've got to dump it in fluctuation.
But I didn't get what's the notion of the preserved entropy? Apparently, it goes to zero with some power of temperature. What do you mean by preserved?
Simple. Let's take a non-Kramer's rare earth where you have a single ground state. There's no entropy left. So that's not going to be one that's going to be promising for these types of fluctuations. In niobium triselenide or some other...
Or you mean just in terms of some energy scale, which is sufficiently low, and you still have a lot of entropy.
Yeah, there. Yeah.
But you're not questioning that when temperature goes to zero, entropy is definitely...
No. You want to create or look at systems where you have some idea that there is entropy that has to be removed. Then, if you can prevent this removal to a lower and lower temperature, hopefully towards zero, that's when things become interesting. Right.
If you want a lot of high temperature entropy, right, and you want to stop it being removed,
right,
and get very
Kramer's,
cold.
Kramer's ions, yeah. It's guaranteed. Yeah. Non-Kramer's, you can tune it. And I think a lot of second order phase transitions that you might be able to finesse to zero don't have necessarily this preserved entropy, and therefore they're ones that aren't going to show all these interesting effects.
Just small.
So I can bring out some of the aspects that are on this picture here, and problems which I believe, which there is no explanation at the moment, the linear resistivity, the log C over T, and the fact that apparently the scale of the Fermi liquid seems to vanish. Well, you haven't drawn it here, but in many other systems, it looks as if it vanishes at the same point as the quantum critical point. I wouldn't like to comment on this system, because you haven't gone to all that low.
Can you define scale of a
Fermi liquid? Yeah, for example, it could be the region over which you see if you look at the case of a terbium, rhodium 2, silicon 2, then you see a region like this where you see T squared resistivity here, T squared resistivity here, and T linear here. Okay?
Right, but when you say that at the critical point the resistivity goes like T,
yeah,
it necessarily means that the scale of the Fermi liquid goes to zero.
Oh, yes. And so the question is, the reason for this going to zero, our current models of the emergence of antiferromagnetism out of the metallic state do not give us a satisfactory explanation of why the region of T squared shrinks down towards zero here, why the specific heat capacity coefficient seems to diverge as one comes across here.
At the crudest level, Pierce, I would just say it's because you're having to have obscenely large fluctuations to eat up your entropy in that region because you don't have your other mechanisms.
Right.
That's not a Hamiltonian, and it's not giving it to your computation.
And I think that if you put it another way, the existing models would say that most of the entropy would be eaten up here, mm-hmm. and there wouldn't be very much entropy left at low temperatures to play with. Yet experimentally, There's a lot of entropy that's down here. The conventional model for a three-dimensional system would have a hot line, which would be where you fold the Fermi surface over. That would give you a CV over T, which goes like constant minus some square root of temperature. It's a very weak singularity according to this model. So what's wrong? What's wrong with this model that gives you this very dramatically different behavior here? And in some sense, it's an experimental proof that this description here is wrong. Is this description wrong because we integrated out the fermions? Or is it wrong because it's the itinerant starting point is actually wrong to begin with, and you need to actually have other degrees of freedom? And if that's wrong, then what is the right universal description of the physics around here? Do you have to imagine something with incredibly complex diagrams and singularities for which you need years of training to understand? Or could you imagine a something in which a simple unifying principle would allow you to understand the physics without all that training, just following that principle will enable you to do calculations as you can in the case of the Ising model using the Wilson-Fisher scheme? So
that's sort of finding the right variables.
Finding the right variables. What is the character of those rights of those soft modes? And I'm trying to stimulate someone to stand up and take the floor here. My own personal feeling about this is that the right way forward is perhaps either to... No small discussions. You come up here and discuss
it. There's no universal way, right?
You think there's no universal way?
To integrate out.
To integrate out the pyramid. Just encourage discussion with Blackwell. Yeah, good.
Just to this specific.
Right.
So, certainly in general, the impression is that it's impossible to integrate out. Exactly. But in some particular situations, when really there is non-trivial, strongly related physics, it can be integrated. A good example is TJ model, or Hubbard model. And usually when people are talking about the usual dotted diagram, right? So this is standard picture. So it's Yale, temperature, there is this kind. And usually people concentrate on this critical point. But there is much more important critical point here. And clearly this is related to some dirt in the system. And if you forget about the dirt, okay, there is no this stuff. There should be some kind of misbehavior.
We don't know.
Yeah.
So the one clearly.
This kind of, wait a minute. Suddenly you can kill superconductivity, that's true. As soon as you put some, say, Coulomb repulsion.
But is it really important?
It's important. Because at this point, at zero dot, clearly you have, and this is what Pierce mentioned, there is collective modes, magnons. You completely integrate out fermions, right? And then the natural approach is move over here.
But
collective modes as a way of description.
But the recoupling description of the anti-ferromagnet was probably not correct, because a spin density wave of a Fermi surface would suggest when you dope it, it just gives a little hole pop.
No, this is when you move from this direction, right. But I want to have a strong coupling description.
Oh, okay, that's what we need. I mean, I agree. Yeah.
But it's not the model we're talking about, anyway.
Why not? It's exactly, you integrate out fermions. You put all electrons into collective modes, and you have holes, a few holes which are in your fermions.
But if you want to discuss dynamics and collective modes, then...
But in parallel, you still have... Here, you have still holes, but very few. Very few, and these are your fermions.
But from a phenomenological point of view, there's no critical behavior around very small doping. You've got a bloody great anti-ferromagnet sitting there.
No, but nevertheless, you don't have a critical behavior in some sense, that's true.
Yes.
But you hide majority of electrons in your collective modes, and you have very, very few fermions over here.
They're not hidden there in the one insulator.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have integrated fermions out. And you have very few, for example, Fermi surface, small Fermi surface with fermions only here.
Yeah. You don't have a last
fermion. But even this is not easy for sure. To integrate out fermions in an insulator.
For small dotting, it's known for sure.
I'm going to try and be master of ceremonies.
It's known for sure.
So you're welcome to come, but we're going to do it in an orderly fashion. Okay, so Oleg has given his point of view. I wasn't entirely sure whether we weren't talking about critical points here, and we were discussing whether the description of the collective modes in the vicinity of a quantum critical point can be described purely in terms of bosonic variable having integrated out the fermions, or whether some other kind of description is needed. I thought that was the sense of the question, actually. So I've got none of the eager Beavis yet and Andre. I'll invite Andre and then Catherine next.
You can go for
detergent.
notice that a good way to see whether you have correctly integrated the fermions here is to put them back and to see whether they generate any singularity. So, okay, if you put them back, you end up with a model similar to the one Andre studied and others. Which is a spin fermion model. So, when you put them back, this guy back.
So you've integrated out some of them, some of the high energy ones, or your two bands. The thing is, if you integrate just out the high energy ones, you don't have singular vertices.
Why don't you break it down first?
If you look at properties at low energies, then I will put them back and see whether they generate an infrared singularity.
No, but if you integrate out the high energy fermions only, as in Wilson, then you can't generate singular interactions. In the propagator, let's say, or the quartic interaction. That's the whole point of Wilson. If you integrate out modes which are
that's the whole point.
But then you have to get rid of that model and over gamma Q.
So you have already integrated some low energy fermions there.
It's a straightforward question.
First write down what you were going to write.
You put them back and you look whether they generate. I mean, you look whether the model is stable by putting towards coupling to fermions, which is a spin fermion model. And this, I think, we know now the answer to that. It's a bit complex, in my belief, but let me try to give it. So you can integrate the fermions, but in certain cases it doesn't give this model here. So these are the fermions, I put them back and I put the interactions. Okay, so the point is that you have integrated there are singularities which are generated in the static sector, which were discovered by Dietrich and collaborators, and Thomas and Ted, which I would call BKD type. So instead of this Q square, you get minus Q. And for this, you need to be below D equal 3. So one case when I believe you cannot at all integrate the fermions.
Minus Q for the
minus Q
power,
yeah.
Yes,
minus Q.
Sorry, it's minus Q in D equal 2.
The model is, what is that? Sorry, it's the Fermi C and then this cubic interaction phi f dag f, that's the model? Or is it?
It's not a cubic interaction, it's two fermions coupled to the boson.
But isn't the omega, Matthew's point is that the omega over gamma actually comes from the coupling between the phi and the fermion.
Right. Shouldn't you remove that in the discussion if you're going to do it now?
So you start like that. You will definitely generate gamma omega over Q for Q larger than omega. For Q lower than, that's the number zero. Gamma omega over Q for Q larger than omega. For Q lower than omega, I don't know. It's not universal, it has to be mentioned. I mean, even the form of the Lagrangian for Q lower than omega, I don't know what it is. has to saturate at low Q, but I cannot diverge and cannot keep something like that for Q lower than R again.
But one usually has an interest in that regime, yeah. At least in the standard.
Yes. Yes. So what I would like to say that for at least there is one case in the anti-ferro magnet, and I believe it's a case for the ferro magnet. If you are at the perpendicular dimension for the bosons, so for the anti-ferro magnet, it's d equal 2. Then we get a very special effect, which I call Abanoff-Chubukov 2003, which is the fact that we'll get some singularities at each level in the loops. And if you get into these loops, you'll get some log singularities. And my way to understand that is that this coupling is already singular. So this coupling, if you do a tree and naive scaling,
these are the n squared log.
Yes, this is
the
two fermions, one boson. So this coupling, which I call J, if I scale it, basically it has the same pretty upper critical dimension as B, when B is taken as a constant. So if you're already at the upper critical dimension D equal 2, any diagrams which will take into account the fermions will diverge. And if you had only the boson theory, it wouldn't be the case. So I think you should probably have the same kind of effect for D equal 1 for the ferro, but maybe D equal 1 is more complicated for the ferro. And maybe in D equal 2, for 2D anti-ferro in style of a 3D metal, you know this. And there is one last thing, the third thing I would say where you have singularities, is if you calculate these diagrams, so first the self-energy, let's say you're in D equal 2 for the ferro magnet, it goes like omega 2 thirds, so you break the Fermi liquid. But if you put a new line, and you don't have the curvature, you have something very, very divergent. So if no curvature, you get something going like omega 1 third. And every new line will get a new power of omega minus 1 third per line. So this is really a bad, bad, bad thing.
Yeah, sometimes it's theory, don't you?
So self-consistent theory with no curvature gets something of order one. So you have infinite series of diagrams of order one and you cannot fix on the theory. So the only way out, I know out of that, is to keep curvature. And then you get a small parameter, which is J M over gamma D M.
If you call this small parameter, then it's small, right? But otherwise, okay. Otherwise it's not small.
So different by small, you don't have the problem of the curvature. So I would say if you integrate the fermions well, first you should keep track of this kind of singularities. Or as far as we know, maybe there are more, and then I've forgotten. Second, in that case, you cannot, I believe, if you are at the perpendicular dimension. Even if you want to do it well, you cannot, because basically, if you take the physical Lagrangian only with the bosons, it's not generalizable because you have an infinite number of divergent couplings. But if you put the fermions, and you know that this is just at the upper critical dimension, and you could do, if you want, RG on this one. So at this level, I think you cannot. But actually, I don't really understand it very well, Andre. Maybe you have another explanation for this 2003 effect. But apart from this, if you keep the curvature, you're fine if you do it well.
So what is your conclusion?
If you do it well, you can integrate the fermion. If you take the curvature, you get a bit of a singularity. And you cannot do it well in D equal 2 for the anti-ferro magnet, and I believe it's the same effect in D equal 1 for ferro magnet, but I'm not sure. So this, even if you want to do it well, you cannot. But in all other cases, if you do it well, I believe you can.
Meaning you can integrate at terms, you get a very singular effect of Lagrangian.
Well, you get something, yeah. You get the Lagrangian, which is what it is, but...
But then it changes the nature of your phase transition, and
yes,
et cetera.
Yes, but you would have integrated your fermions in a sense. Because when you put back the fermions, they won't generate.
But then you've lost all the predictions which you made on the basis of the second order phase transition. You've lost your power laws, and
But you still have integrated your fermions.
Look, you can always integrate them out in principle because it's a bilinear theory.
In that case you cannot because you generate infinite number of singularities in the boson theory. So the bosonic theory is not renormalizable and it's not, it just doesn't converge.
If we started out at the very beginning with a purely fermionic Hamiltonian, the procedure would be second to do your Hubbard-Stronovich on the interactions, which would give you your collective mode, your phi, okay? And of course, we all agree that at that point, formally, you can integrate out the fermions, because it's a bilinear Lagrangian in the fermions, and it's given by the determinant, modern thing. What we're really asking about is whether, having done that, you get something that's useful and practical
for calculations.
I will talk about this part and then I will comment a little bit about that part as well. So I guess to this problem we really have a kind of definite answer. And definite answer, in my opinion, is this one. Sometimes it depends. we have some critical point. A critical point can be anti-ferromagnetic. It can be ferromagnetic. Or it can be what I call spiral. Some incommensurate instruction. If it's like this, you can integrate over fermions. And this means precise things. You write down effective model after doing all calculations which I described in a second. You end up with a model that have, of course, fermionic damping. But this coefficient, as well as all other coefficients, are constants. So you end up with effective Landau-Ginzburg-Wilson model for quantum phase transition.
For spirals.
Spirals are okay. The reason why anti-ferromagnetic and ferromagnetic points are specific are basically kind of straightforward. Because if you want to start with a model like this, so if you want to integrate high energy fermions, and think about effective model between fermions and whatever low energy degrees of freedom is left.
What do you mean by spirals?
What do you mean?
Structures with momentum different from pi and from zero.
It could be a helicoidal magnet.
In a second why I separate between.
Andrei, but where is the other relation is hidden energies?
Where is other? There's no long range order. There's no other relation.
Spiral is a long range order.
No. I'm not talking about state with long range order. If you like, there's a parameter space, some parameter x. Long range order is here, whatever it's anti-permagnet, ferromagnet, or spiral, and we are moving in this direction. Okay. We are always in the ferromagnet.
But then it's like a finite mass of pi meson. Still, like the relation must be there.
The question is whether excitations are overdamped or not. If the excitations are overdamped, you start generating other principle only inside the space.
So you're saying that there is no ordinary relation at all?
Sorry?
No ordinary relation?
Yeah, but this kind of moments. When you have overdamped excitations, you don't have spin waves at the critical point. You only get spin wave when you move inside the ordered phase. And then you start generating other relations, but in a region of momentum that's proportional to the deviation from the critical point. It's a difference between overdamped situation with, if you like, more omega here, or more conventional situation with spin waves right at the critical point. If you have a situation when you don't have linear and omega terms, since you don't have Landau damping, then your question is absolutely valid. There is other relations, which means that you have to renormalize vertices from the very beginning, which means that vertex corrections are pretty important. But let me, since time is limited, let me focus on this part. So if you have a model for which you have some kind of low-energy bosonic mode, you have fermions, and you have minimal interaction between fermions and bosons, which in spin language means that you have interaction between fermions and some collective modes with spin indices and the vertices, or if it's charged density where you don't have spin indices. Then you start building in corrections to this Lagrangian. So you start building in bosonic self-energy, in addition, of course, to fermionic self-energy.
You have any control over this theory? Do you need to worry about higher order boson fermion interactions?
I don't think that you need to worry about higher order boson fermion interaction, at least the examples I know about. They don't give you anything, but it doesn't mean that it's general statement. For anti-Fermanent case, to verify what happens if you have more than one, it doesn't seem that it works. But back to the point, of course, you have bosonic self energy like this. This is what we call conventional Landau dumping. The reason is it is in the theory, it's pretty straightforward, but it's not, that when we calculate Landau dumping, we deal with fermions with energy smaller than external bosonic energy. So it's all low energy process. We cannot get Landau dumping in RGs integrating out high energy fermions. And this term, depending on whether it's problem anti-ferromagnetic or ferromagnetic, give us what you saw in your role, give us omega divided by gamma of Q. If Q is zero, you get mod Q. If Q is finite, you get a constant. So this is obvious. And this is just like you can put into the theory from the very beginning. But then you start generating interaction. And I think this is where the name Andy Mielis was added to Hertz theory. How to really generate the interaction out of a regional model of interaction with low energy degrees of freedom. And you start doing something like this. This is fourth order, you can go further to higher orders, etc., etc. And somehow, write down. This will be eventually B54 term, this will be by 4, this will be B6, by 6 term, and right term. So when you do this, obvious question, is this a constant or not a constant? And let me give you an example with anti-ferromagnetic case. If I put all external frequencies to 0 and all external momenta to pi, you have k plus pi, k plus 2 pi is the same as k plus 3 pi is the same as k plus pi. Have a loop out of 4 fermions with 2 equal momenta. If you look at this loop and do standard calculations, you finally have double poles, so the result is 0. And this was noted by engineers, who said that, well, yes, you have double poles, but you have to integrate over a finite bandwidth, so eventually get some constant out of here. So that at that time, statement was that yes, if you integrate, if you start deriving this term, and you restrict with only low energy fermions, you get 0. If you include the fact that fermionic excitations have a finite bandwidth and there's an upper limit in integration over fermions, then you end up with some constant term. And the same is true for all B6, etc. Once you do this, and assume that B is a constant, you have the standard theory that D plus Z equal to 4 is the upper critical dimension of the theory, which brings you 2 dimensions as the upper critical dimension for anti-ferromagnetic problem, as well as the spiral problem. But in fact, if you look more carefully into this kind of problem and do the calculations for finite frequencies, and finite momentum, when I put momentum, it's deviation from pi of this. You find that this interaction is always singular. It's always singular in the sense that it only has terms that for an anti-ferromagnetic problem, roughly scale is omega divided by omega plus q squared. For anti-ferromagnetic problem. For a ferromagnetic problem, there will scale as omega divided by omega plus q cube.
What is the dimension? Which dimension?
Doesn't matter. This is true for any dimension. This is why I don't specify any particular dimension for this problem. It's always the case. Why anti-ferromagnetic and ferromagnetic problems are specific? Well, by a simple reason, that in order to get all singular contribution, you need to put all fermions simultaneously at the fermion surface. Otherwise, we will have gaps, and gap excitation will go out. So you can easily find out that if you have either momentum zero or momentum one, you can take these fermions and put all of them at the fermion surface. If it's any intermensurate momentum, well, do a simple geometry, you will find that both k plus q naught and k plus q 2 q naught should be simultaneously at the fermion surface. That requires special conditions. For arbitrary fermion surface, you, for an arbitrary point at the fermion surface, you don't get it. This is why spiral case is special, you don't get anything like this. You get constant only. For both anti-ferromagnetic and ferromagnetic case, this is unavoidable. Consequence is the second part. But I'm trying to make a statement that in any dimension, when you write down effective bosonic model, this is not a constant.
Independent of whether it's charge or spin?
Independent of whether it's charge or spin.
So in principle,
consequences can be...
It's impossible to integrate out.
Is it dumping?
I put that as in the Moxibara, so it's...
Andre, you just said that the small hole term is actually a constant if you're exactly at omega equal to zero and q equal to zero.
It's constant because you, if you want to,
no,
integrate up to infinity, it's zero. If you integrate up to finite fermionic bandwidth, it scales as 1 over bandwidth.
Right, it's talking about, why do you then say this is actually, this goes up? I mean, which limit are you actually looking at?
There are two derivations. B is equal to B naught plus omega divided by omega plus q squared if it's anti ferromagnetic.
That's not
the
last
q power if it's ferromagnetic. So there's one singular contribution. But singular, you see, depends on what is larger. If you take q much larger than omega, it will be a small term.
Andre, once again, is it sigma? Where does sigma enter?
What is sigma?
The dumping on the fermions.
There is no dumping of fermions here. I'm just doing this for simplicity, for
free. You probably can't argue this. Can't you say that the critical limit is frequency going to zero and then q going to zero?
It depends what problem you consider.
Because static critical phenomenon.
Hmm?
Static critical phenomenon.
For static critical, even for static critical phenomenon. You will see my next statement.
I can see it breaks out if you put it inside loops in a way.
Yeah, I guess that's what happens.
That's what happens. Yeah. So the consequence, there are two consequences of this behavior. First of all, this behavior is unavoidable. You cannot avoid it. Second, if we're talking about Fermat, then you take this singular vertex and you want to see, for example, how this singular vertex appear, renormalizes a quadratic term. I'm just contracting the vertex this way. And it ends up eventually in what in Katrin in two dimensions also described as mod Q term. So it gives you singular behavior of static susceptibility, the stuff that was not present in the original Hertz theory. If you look at anti-ferromagnet, consequences depend on dimension as well as here, of course, they depend on dimension. But for example, in two dimensions, you get from this correction some special logarithmic of physics. Which by itself would be not a big deal. We know that in two dimensions, it's anti-ferromagnet, d plus z equal to 4, so we have logarithmic physics anyway. What is unusual, and what is really makes, I guess, Hertz theory totally inapplicable, is that if you look at this term, six-order term, it gives you omega divided by omega plus the fourth power as the derived term. So the larger power you get, the more singular are the vertices. So you cannot stop at any point. And I see here, so final statement is this. Consequence depends on dimension and on what problem you consider. But you cannot integrate fermions in any dimension for either ferromagnetic or anti-ferromagnetic problem, because not only this term, but all other coefficients are all singular. And singularity progressively increases.
Can I ask a question as an experimentalist, because this is really very, very technical here, and I wonder whether you can actually rephrase your question with these fermions to the point that you say, do we actually know what the order parameter is if we cannot integrate out the fermions? Is that a fair statement, or?
I guess I would just...
I mean, is it is what is a discussion... that you're leading? Is this a technical discussion? You're struggling to define whatever water parameters
you have? No, it's a hypothetical. It's a point like this, that you always generate long-range interaction between particles. Because all these singularities of this kind is nothing in real space, but effective dynamical long-range interaction that you generate. And close to critical point, this long-range interaction is overly important. This is what DOL means.
I have another experimental question. I don't know how these calculations are done, but I would have thought that if you're calculating interaction of bosons with some fermions, and you find some singular term, you shouldn't just think of the fermions as remaining at the energies and wave vectors they were at. They should just always move to avoid that singular term, won't they? I mean, is it the picture that you keep the fermions spectrum fixed through these calculations?
No, that's the whole point. They do move, and that's what produces the ordered phase.
Yeah.
I mean, they can dance.
Yeah.
But at the point where they're critical, they don't quite get there. And so all of this surrounds what is the right simple description of the collective behavior at the quantum critical point.
So at the quantum critical point and above at a finite temperature, the question is most of the Fermi surface just, you know, weakly interacting lambda Fermi particles and maybe with some hotspots, or is, which this, the theory in its most naive form predicts. Now, maybe there are problems with the theory or something we're hearing about.
I agree. In the naive form, the theory predicts exactly this. But what I was describing doesn't answer your question.
It just says the naive theory is not correct.
It just says the naive theory is not correct in the sense that it's not a Landau-Wilson theory with constant interactions. The interactions are singular functions. So it's a theory with definitely long-range interaction. But this doesn't answer the more general question that Pearson Perkins asked. What to do about experiments and whether any theory which, for example, deals with hot spots can explain the physics.
Andre, I believe, like, at least for the four magnet, the Landau damping was valid for Q much larger than omega. So if I put Q much larger than omega in this stuff, it's very small.
Well, this is why...
Once you start calculations, that shows up in...
Well, so at least for the Fermi magnet, this should be very small.
Except that when you want to calculate step quantum like this, you find the typical omega scale and typical Q.
Yeah.
So they're of the same order.
Well, but then you get...
Yeah, but you can check it.
Even if
But isn't there also a little faith in that you basically say, well, you can always start with a Hamiltonian just describable, with an action just describing fermions. So then you say you know how it's autonomous transformation, and then by hand you basically put in that you get a delta plus a Q squared by integrating all the high energy fermions. Right? I mean, this is to a certain extent a little faith because you can't really do this. And then you basically do the what you just described. So the question I think here is, can one actually do this leap of faith and say, well, I integrate all the high energy fermions and this is the effective action that I get? Is that the problem because that step's already not correct? Or is really something then wrong in the sense that one cannot just simplify this whole problem?
I think Andre cannot answer that question because he times that. You don't pose it from the give it. But one word I want to throw out is itinerancy. Does it even make sense to take this kind of itinerant approach? Now, one of the questions
is different. It's
connected because, in the more general sense of asking, what is the simple description of eclectic behavior? It might be that one aspect of that simple description means that you can't invoke collective modes coupled to Fermi surfaces. You need some other description of the problem.
Yes, let's separate the issues. That's right from the very beginning. If we ask the question, can we integrate out fermions, assuming that there's just standard scenario, that there's one low energy mode of collective spin excitations coupled to fermions, the answer is this. You cannot, to the extent that you're asking different question.
Just stop right there. Do the theorists who have thought about this in Caroline, do they agree with what Andrea just said? You don't.
I agree with this form, but I claim that since the pearl magnet is valid, since for Q larger than omega, this thing behind Andre that is hiding is small.
Exactly.
But
that's you
didn't
have small
for commercial
economy. No, I agree.
Technically correct.
Yeah.
So, okay, so then we need a new approach.
Right. I think it is
either we have to refine this so that it's keeping the fermions in some way, or we have to have totally new degrees of freedom, new fields.
No, but isn't it telling us that it is the second order phase transition which is in danger? Because these long-range interactions, which are generated one way or the other, suggest that there is no second order.
But apparently there is.
Well, but which turns into first order as you go down to... You suck, right. That I agree.
What this approach doesn't tell you, and cannot answer, is whether there is any another low-energy moment that has to be put into the sewage from the very beginning, or comes out at the level of integrating high-energy fermions.
But there may be a different number. There may be a set of low-energy spin-ons. I mean, you need a whole spin-charge separation approach. I mean, this whole thing of just one mode of low-energies and fermions is maybe way too simple.
I think there's a consensus on that, actually. Does anyone still believe in that? I think for that ferromagnets at your end point, you maybe believe in that, Andy, do you?
Well, I haven't yet heard what would happen in the charge. For the charge, does it matter in the charge?
It does matter.
I mean, maybe
there are no singularities in the charge.
Maybe the fact that the higher order vertices blow up is just a reflection of the fact that when we do the initial Hubbard-Schwarzschild transformation to just one order field, that that is just not correct. That we can't do it. What? That you basically wouldn't have these singular corrections if you had not one, but if you introduced two different order fields, or two different modes, or three different
modes. But it's a gapless fermion.
I'm trying to say that if you
already
have answered some questions,
the filter that's written down there with the separate fermions is local. The one that's written down there with LF and L interaction, that's a local filter. It's only when you try and integrate out the fermions that these long-range interactions generated. Mm-hmm. So a proposal would be to use a normalization group to do your critical problem on this coupled filter. There you have a local filter in Sharper.
Well, can one do that? I mean, that's what one should try, or should be doing, if one wants to take this approach at all. But that's, it's a technical thing, we don't know how to do that, maybe. Is that?
We've done this in the fermion case. That's what Dietrich was talking about yesterday, effectively, in a roundabout way.
Yeah, I'm a little bit nervous about your logarithmic.
May I ask last question? Lagrange on positive side, does this all mean that we have complete theory of spiral critical phase transition?
Well, it's...
At least it's internally consistent. It's internally consistent, at least.
Well, we would have a theory for
exactly.
Well, I didn't write about the result is.
No, you said it's not possible to do
that. You said the non-formalistic study by itself.
Well, but we know what the outcome is. But
so what is the outcome?
It's less important than the statement that this is just one particular example when we don't get a simple Hertz-like theory. But the problem is more general than this one. The question is it one connective mode story or more than one connective mode story? I guess this one.
Okay, so I think that maybe there's a way out of this, just beavering away with your fermions in the case of the ferromagnet may get you there, I think. But in the case of the anti-ferromagnets, I think not even that will help you.
Sure,
that's my impression in the case of, and it's very nice that you say spirals work here, but let me remind you that cerium composite scalar is an incommensurate quantum critical point, and it clearly doesn't work. Experimentally, so it's very nice that it may be theoretically consistent, but it's not consistent with the observations.
There is some experiments which could work for the itinerant model, extending
Nickel
to germanium to.
Yes,
the visualization story shows that
right.
Maybe a 3D spin entity web scenario of the spiral case.
That then raises the question: why it works at all? Because we've just said it's an inconsistent approach.
Maybe it's spiral.
Maybe it's a spiral. That might resolve. Maybe there are...
Well, we don't know for sure.
That's true.
All the
parameters.
What's more, 99.9% of being commensurate? It's a spiral.
Yeah.
Or a thin dimension.
spiral theory that suddenly goes from working to non-working.
No, this stuff will just have a mass, that's it.
What's more important, the incommensurability or the spiralness?
No, the incommensurability
is the most important thing. Because an anti-ferromagnet with a proper Q vector could be a spiral.
No, bye-bye the word. But what that I would say is, if this picture were right, it would mean that as you tune your anti-ferromagnet to the commensurate point, all hell would break loose. But once you moved away, you'd have
it's importantly only, so it doesn't work this way. So if you tune it a little bit, then it will not work until so low.
That's right. But cerium composite gold is well away from a nice commensurate point, okay? And it really is a very badly behaved system. We're going to end in about 20 minutes, but what alternatives are there? Maybe I can throw that out to the community here. What alternative methods might be possible? What are we missing here? What ideas do we have for new approaches?
Let me add another thing about the ferromagnet point.
Yes.
In the clean ferromagnet case, before these singularities become important, a magnetization cuts off these singularities.
Yes.
If you had a finite magnetization or a finite magnetic field, these non-elasticities are cut off.
Right.
So really, in a way, that's what causes the first order phase transition.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So that makes sense. But then, of course, if you then go to the quantum critical endpoint, then
it's a magnetic field, and then the symmetry is not right.
Then it reduces the symmetry, and things should be
able to
behavior.
So
around that point, you may be able to integrate out the fermions.
I would think so.
Do you think so? Okay, so that's an interesting consensus that we seem to have gotten here. And you mentioned also there's some approximate agreement with the data at the end, at the quantum critical endpoint. So that's encouraging. That's interesting. That's good. So it leaves the anti-ferromagnets as one aspect that's really a big problem here.
Even for a spiral, whatever,
yes.
We never get linear inter-resistivity, we never get C over T.
Right, now I'm grouping them all together in a very new sense. And if you go to the case of local moment systems, part of the problem is that for itinerant systems, we have the Stoner picture as a mean field theory for anti-ferromagnetism. And most of this is really an attempt to expand in the fluctuations of the Stoner mean field theory. And when we come to anti-ferromagnets, part of the problem is that we don't actually have a good mean field theory. A mean field theory, in my opinion, that will take you from the local moment anti-ferromagnet into the heavy electron or the condo lattice phase. That mean field description, I don't think is there at the moment. And maybe that's part of the difficulty in trying to do an expansion. If you don't have a mean field theory, how can you do an expansion? That's if you
have a maybe, I just don't know the experimental literature that well, but how well does one understand the Fermi surface in the heavy Fermi liquid and in the anti-ferromagnetic metal, as far as whether it's folded and what is the right picture, just as far as Fermi surface topology is concerned.
Yeah,
are there any materials where one knows the answer to that question?
I think the answer to that is probably not in a rigorous way. No, I don't.
Experimentalist. That's the thing. Obviously, it's hard, and you need the very clean crystals and so forth. But that's something we. It would be very helpful to know what the Fermi surface looks like in the anti-ferromagnetic metals.
Do you want to? Can I invite you to the blackboard?
Just I think. Yeah. Right. I just want to formulate maybe two questions. So as far as I understand this, and please correct me if I'm wrong, the problem with integrating out the fermions that we just heard from Andre about is actually not a problem exactly at the quantum critical point, but that's actually a problem even if you're away from the quantum critical point. So I think that if we're interested in the spirit of this workshop to actually think about what are the results or what are the consequences of quantum criticality, I think we should distinguish between these things that we just heard about away from quantum criticality or away from criticality and exactly at the critical point. So I would say that this question, whether we can actually integrate out the fermions and whether they are actually technical problems, we should ask, on one hand, whether these things appear away from any kind of critical point, which seems to be the case, in which case I think it's a technical problem. We come back to what Matthew also just said, you know, can we integrate, or can, do we need to integrate, do we need to introduce more than just fields, or do we have to integrate many fields in order to get rid of this? And then if this this blowing up of intellectual vertices only happened at the critical point, then we could actually, or at least, interpret these things as that indeed something really funny is going on at the critical point. So what I would say is that this question, can we integrate all the fermions, should actually be divided into two parts. One is at the critical point, at the quantum critical point, and away.
Is that the same question as
how far away?
If you're away from the quantum circle point, I mean, then these collective fields are massive, and you can integrate them back out, and you just have an interacting electron system. So, are we asking about does the Fermi liquid phase break down? Is that what you're asking?
No, I'm basically asking.
And you might need a whole new non-Fermi liquid conducting phase rather than just a critical point. Although, I think in these systems, perhaps it's not.
So Fermi liquid breaks down. I guess the problem with all this approach is that Fermi liquid does break down one way or another, with singular versus or without singular versus, different way, but it breaks down. But it breaks down only in particular points at the Fermi surface, one labeled over there. So when you calculate resistivity then, you always get T squared, even if you break Fermi liquids in some points at the Fermi surface. Because conductivity comes mostly from the regions where you have Fermi liquid. And this is a key problem with
You're talking about now at the quantum critical point, right?
I'm
talking about quantum critical point. Yeah, no, I know. But away from the quantum critical point, then
it's perfect
for you. Okay, but you, Landau, is sacred. I mean, so you will, right? And, but I mean, I'm just trying to understand what you're saying. Away from the quantum critical point, we should. Landau would say we just have a conventional Fermi liquid.
Right.
But now, quantum might be wrong in some situations. We could have imagined non-conducting.
No,
but it's not Fermi liquid phases. Phases. I don't think
he all raised that possibility in his.
He did. But
this gives you perfect Fermi liquid away from critical point.
This formulation does. It's free fermions away. You know, I agree. Weakly interacting fermions.
Exactly.
We have a consistent theoretical description of a Fermi liquid. We know that.
But if you to just attempt.
You could have a novel quantum critical point, or you could imagine novel quantum critical phases, right, which are conducting non-Fermi liquid phases, and which exist over a range of parameters. Now, I'm not sure that there's an experimental motivation for that. Maybe in the Coupe race.
Can I just answer Matthew's question? Sure. I think the point is that we've seen that you get those crossover. I agree. At t equal to zero, you have a Fermi liquid if they're away from the quantum critical point. But as you go up in temperature, we've seen that there's some crossover from t squared to t, for example. And the question is whether this breakdown of not being able to integrate all the fermions is actually a sign exactly of this kind of crossover.
No, the answer is definitely no.
This scheme cannot explain the fact that t squared region gets smaller and smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even explain the Fermi.
Pierce, this brings me back to the other problem. I mean, we basically put in by hand this delta, and this basically comes from integrating out the higher energy fermions. So this leap of faith that you can do this and get just this simple form out of this, then has to be put in question, basically.
Or you start from capturing the other
one. I just wanted to make a comment on the very scary form Andre made. So if you typically scale vector form, if I scale Q going like omega 1 third equals z equal 3, this basically scales like a log, over the log. So this is basically dangerous when I put it back, because I have to put it back with the phi. So when I put it back, this is dangerous at the perpetual dimension. What now Andre tells us is now what is dangerous if you could have another Q-typical, which goes like omega. So okay, so this is definitely beyond this this theory. Is that if you take the theory as it is like this, Q should scale like omega 1 third. In that case, this is not dangerous except at D equal 1. Okay. I have to put it with B, I mean you have D equals B0 plus omega over omega plus Q3, and B scales like T.
I can follow your arithmetic there. So where does the law come from?
No, well,
she says
one.
Yeah.
Another one, sorry. But
the problem is this problem is two time scales, right?
Yeah.
In a particular diagram, you don't know whether your omega will pick up the ballistic or the critical scale. Mm-hmm.
If it picks up the critical scale, the only problem is at the perpendicular dimension.
Yeah.
But if it picks up, for the ferromagnetic field, because it's a border one, I would claim that if Q is over the 1, I claim that the Lagrangian at the beginning is already not well defined because we are at the limit of validity where the number of damping and we don't really know what
it is. But this has been done, right? That was the purpose of the calculation, to see whether it's ballistic or it's critical. So what's the answer from those who did
the
calculation?
Now, maybe I can answer a different question if I can. This is a question about exact calculations. But
make
we
have
one
thing. We have a game.
Did someone have a question here?
Did someone have a question?
You posed a question.
No.
Yes, someone posed a question.
I guess there's one point, and I think it's really important, that about Fermi liquid versus non Fermi liquid. In any of these approaches, with vertices or without vertices, any theory of anti-ferromagnetic of fermions interacting with anti-ferromagnetic fluctuations so far give you non-Fermi liquid at particular points at the Fermi surface.
Yeah.
Power of self-energy depends on everything. But you can get non-Fermi liquid specific heat because of this. But you never can get resistivity that goes as not as T squared.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so do you think that in the heavy fermion materials, what we need in order to understand the quote-unquote critical point is to have a theory which allows for the criticality at all points
exactly.
of the Fermi surface.
We need some more
critical
to zero.
I agree with that. That's my major view. If so, this is all a red herring.
Kevin, you've been very quiet. As a proponent of a locally quantum critical theory of these things, what's your opinion?
Well, so far, I've never seen anything which had localized regions of the Fermi surface going critical, which was able to satisfactorily reproduce the required properties. So,
what would you say, for example, in a theory, in a model which has a two-dimensional spin period coupled to local moments?
So there you've got this added ingredient to these local moments going critical. So you've got something other than the one phi mode that.
That
we've been talking about in the Hurst-Nowitz.
Right.
So this is a recipe. I'm not sure whether it's the right recipe. It's a recipe where something else has been added in.
Yeah.
And it's
another critical mode has been added in,
and it's come up with, it's produced some of the desired features. So
right.
I think people should follow. That's one promising line to follow.
Right. So this
sounds qualitatively different than
it's called. Yeah. So this is then a movement towards trying to identify the alternative nature of the critical modes that appear at the quantum critical point. What is their most simple description? How should you find that? And I suppose there are various approaches you could try to do. You could try to be systematic, which would mean you try to expand around some controlled treatment, or you could try to be creative using some symmetry principle or some new idea, some new concept to guide your construction of something new. Or I suppose you could look at the data more and try to see something in it that would steer you forward. I think we've been talking for 1 hour and 20 minutes. Does anyone have anything that they'd like to say or add to this discussion? We've got.
Like to ask a mental question.
Okay, sure.
Something that hasn't been mentioned so far much except by Kevin is that the quantum effect can be destroyed, that something has been discussed by a number of people, but somehow it's not included in the general discussion very much. Now, my experimental question is it true that the problems that the Hurst-Nowitz theory has, when we look at different experiments, are all these systems local moment systems where we can speculate that the Comte effect is the cause of the problem, or there are some examples where we have more itinerant systems and still the theory doesn't work.
That's just too experimental.
I think experimentally, so there are some systems that more or less fall into this Pressminus description. Incommensurate anti-Fermanists like serum cleaning to silicon tube dealt with lanthanum. You introduce the quantum critical point at 7.5 or so percent of lanthanum. And the serum nickel to silicon, germanium tube seems to be from the thermal expansion measurements of the Dresden group, also a system that accordingly would work with this Pressminus approach. But then, on the other hand, there is assumed copper gold and gerbin rhodium to silicon tube, where the data are incompatible with the Pressminus scenario. In addition, the gerbin rhodium to silicon tube, there is this low energy scale that shows up where below which you have a deviation from the logarithmic temperature depends on the specific heat with this T2 to the minus 1/3 behavior that's also seen in low fields when one feels.
Those are local moment systems,
yeah,
the ones
yeah.
you all get.
Okay.
So some local moment systems do ostensibly seem to fit the Hertzian type theory, at least for the resistivity and maybe for the specific heat capacity. But I think it's fair to say that the systems which don't fit it are local moment systems. We don't have any examples of systems which don't fit it and are itinerant systems.
We do give examples of itinerant systems which do fit it.
Well,
on both counts, specific heat and resistivity.
Yeah, well, I think
don't have a single
example. What examples that make them tell us about? Yeah, but that's so strong, this one, we don't know whether that's normal style.
I think that the critical endpoint things seem to roughly fit. Okay, so I think that tentatively that seems to work, if I understand right, at least at a qualitative level. Right?
Nickel plating system. I think that works well.
Okay, yeah.
The disorder.
Yeah. So it raises the question of, in some sense, when that spin localizes, forming the anti-ferro magnet or the magnet, are there new kinds of modes that are just not contained in this kind of
thing? It's a really good question. If the Comte effect is destroyed, we heard that the Hall effect may be one way to see this directly. Is there any other conceivable way, you know, how can we identify this phenomenon? Have there been any suggestions? I'm not aware of any other.
Well, you could watch the Fermi surface in the Hassan Alpha if you had a key in that system. There is cerium indium 3 is a very encouraging material in this respect. It's beautifully cubic as a function of pressure, unfortunately, the first order transition, but as a function of field, there's some encouraging signs that it may have a nice second order transition, unfortunately, out of 55 Tesla. But they've been able to follow the Hassan Alpha a long way down now. It's quite interesting. Neil Harrison will talk about that. Maybe. I think the other way you can rephrase it is, what proposals can the theorists provide that will help elucidate what's going on here? It's clearly very interesting.
But we just got during this discussion, the theorists cannot provide proposals.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think that's a fair statement.
We cannot or we have not.
You have, well, you probably can, but you haven't.
Exactly. That's fair.
We can't. It's more optimistic. Otherwise, we should just all wrap up and go home now. Thanks for coming for the discussion anyway. I had a remark. If anyone, we're trying to put together a blog of this week's meeting. If anyone's given a talk and they have a small iconic image, they'd like to email me, little JPEG file, and we can indent it into the blog page as a sort of little illustration of what went on in that talk, and it might make it more colorful.